Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Smell You Later, the preeminent podcast for scents and smells.
And everything that comes along with them, which sometimes can be quite a lot.
Yes. We're both like schwitzing in our respective apartments, just sweating because it refuses to be fall. But
it refuses to be fall, but we also can't record a podcast with the AC on because then it sounds crazy. So it's like we suffer for our art. We're just like, I don't know, Joni Mitchell, Picasso, pick one. Welcome back. You can't see what is transpiring around me in my office, right? Okay, good, because it's tore the fuck up. My romantic same-sex marital partner was going to get rid of this really lovely cabinet. I was like, we're not getting rid of that. I don't know why I want to keep it, but I do. And then I came up with this plan to like organize my like fragrance system of like, okay, this came, I haven't tried it yet. Came and I have. This is the most boring thing I've actually ever said in this podcast. So thank you for joining us today. Anyway, so my home is in a little bit of disarray at the moment, for the sake of perfume.
I think people are genuinely interested in how people with large perfume collections like store and sort through stuff. Mm-hmm. And
they're never going to know. I don't know. I just like, you know, like I don't I don't have all this shit for the sake of having a lot of it. It's grotesque. I would love to downsize and I will. But yeah, I don't want to be one of those. Not one of those, but I don't want to be a person who's like, anyway, look at my gigantic collection.
Obviously, when we were in the early days of working in beauty, we hoarded everything because it was like, oh my God, it's expensive. It's free. I have to have it because it's like expensive and it's valuable. And now I'm like, is it valuable if I'm just like not using it and it's collecting dust?
Right, right.
We also recognize from having tried everything that like so much of things are just like,
it's all the same.
Fine. Yeah, it's either all the same or it's like fine. And then once in a while, things are like exceptional. And I think a growing stack of like Muji bins with like fragrance samples. And I'm like, okay, we need to do something about this.
I can only speak for myself, but I think getting all that PR in the early days was, I think I had this weird complex of being in the Midwest and not being in New York or LA and having a beauty career from there. But like, did I? I mean, I did in hindsight. I think I was a little self-sabotage about not being here. What I'm trying to say is I think the PR was more of a marker of not even success, but validity or something. It's like, oh, I get this. I matter. And now I'm just like, get this out of my house. Anyway.
I'm about to drop however much it costs to redo my IKEA PAX wardrobe to also plan an area for my fragrances.
That makes sense because you're in your apartment more permanently than I am. You know, like I would
also, there are no closets in my apartment, so like,
oh, that's
I have to make my own closets. And when I moved in, I just somewhat hastily planned this PAX wardrobe, and I was like, fine. And it was pretty expensive at the end, so I was like, okay, this is like the most I can do. When in reality, I was like, if this is my one closet, it's gonna have to be bigger than this.
Totally.
Like all these boxes, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to do a situation like that. I just am I going to do in a fucking rental? Like, even for as much as those cost, even with a 2-year lease, I'm like, I don't know that it checks out. This is an apartment podcast.
I have one configured in IKEA's PAX wardrobe building little 3D simulator. And I think it's at $1,200 right now. And I'm like, okay,
listen,
not factoring in delivery and assembly. I'm like,
you and I are the type of silly bitches that will invest in our home.
Yeah, kudos. Maybe I'll get my dream content deal with IKEA. And
I'd be sick. If anyone deserves it, from IKEA, please. It's you.
I love IKEA. Please.
Not that I look for apartments every day, thank God. But when I do, I'm sort of just like walk in and forget everything I know or have ever learned. It's like, I don't know or remember what to ask. Like, for example, when we were seeing this place, we were seeing the place across the hall, which is essentially the same spot, but I liked the other place better. And I was like, ooh, I think this is it. We found our home. And then Ryan's like, Tiny, there are no closets in here. And I was like, oh, not that we have that much stuff, but it's like, we are two whole ass people.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I guess. So now we have a little less room, but we are flush with closets. So I think it all shakes out.
Good. Bro, I could not imagine cohabitating again. I don't think I could do it. I think what I need is a house next to my partner. That's my ideal situation, is like we have apartments next to one another. I just have so much stuff. I don't even think I have that much stuff, but I'm like in my apartment now and I'm like, there's no way another person will fit in here. Absolutely not. The last time I lived with a boy, he didn't really have that many things, so it was fine. But it was the exit strategy that was... But yeah, now I'm like, I can't date people who don't have things. Like, they're going to have things now. We're adults. I feel like you two also are very design driven. So like your home is going to be beautiful and curated and have like really lovely things in it. I wouldn't live with someone who had mid taste or no taste. It's not going to work. Sorry.
I get it. I get it. I got it work.
Also, I would need two sinks. Two sinks. The like bathroom with two sinks.
Oh, yeah.
That is one thing that I'm like, how do people in New York City live together? When they're not
we
rich.
Have two bathrooms,
yeah,
but the two bathrooms is really nice, but the sinks are the size of like an iPhone. It is convenient unless you're trying to wash your face.
When people design apartments now, I'm like, even if it's just like a rental unit, I'm like, come on, why?
Right.
Why the tiny sink? Or like, why the pedestal sink? What is wrong with you people?
Sorry, I'm very distracted by my like newfound bang today. Do I look like Emma Stone?
I know. You went to the hairdresser with a picture of Emma Stone's pixie cut.
Literally, like this. They're like, it's just bangs. Anyway, Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I just threw on a deep cut. I smell like Margiela Replica Matcha Meditation.
Oh.
Yeah, just randomly, as we were just talking about, I was going through my perfume collection and being like, what the heck? Who are you people? You in the back.
Right.
I haven't seen you in a while. And I just revisiting stuff from a while back. And I was like, oh, I remember I really liked this. And so I put it on and then I was like, still hits. And then I walked my little jobless ass out to get a strawberry matcha.
I see you like doing that, but floating to it like Bugs Bunny or something, or Pepe the Pew when he's in love, just like floating to your matcha.
Just bouncing around. It's getting a matcha, right. Getting a little treat. There is a treat to motivate me and there's a treat to reward me. And this was the treat to motivate me today. So
great.
It was early in the morning and I was like, it's probably good to take a walk. I feel like it's a good idea to like try and go outside and be in the world for 10 minutes in the morning and then be like, okay, I am a person. I'm not a little gremlin that lives in a computer.
Leaving the house makes some points.
Yes, it sometimes does. There's treats out there. You got to go get them.
There are a lot of things out there, but yes, whatever you're going to focus on to get you out the door.
Yeah.
Wait, you DM me about the new...
Oh, there's a new Margiela called Ideal One. And I'm like, huh?
Well,
What is the name?
So do you remember... So obviously the Replica Collection is what it is and we love it. But do you remember that they put out like Replica,
like,
but... Not like in like 2015, it was like about
even
dreams.
More esoteric replica.
Yeah. It was like, if replica's about places, then like literal places, then this other collection is about fantasies. Between then and now, Replica, as we know, really took off. I mean, I also feel like the fantasies collection flopped, and I don't say that with any joy because I love Replica and
sort
that collection.
Did,
but like,
but this
nobody moved.
Really good.
Does it?
Okay. They call out
more of a use.
Yeah, this is a sable scent. They call it caramel musk, vanilla infusion, and guaiac wood. So it's that skin scent bullshit that I love.
And lavender too, right?
Sure. Throw some lavender in
all
there. Why not?
Hearing is lavender and skin masks.
The Instagram caption says, vanilla for pure warmth and guaiac wood for smoky passion. I don't feel like guaiac wood is particularly smoky, but maybe I've just never smelled that iteration of it. I don't know. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So I don't usually do this. And by this, I mean wear the perfumer's scent on the day of the podcast.
You've definitely done it like at least 2 times before.
Okay, but we've been recording for 5 years. I feel like that's still like an anomaly, goddammit.
It's like wearing the band shirt to the concert.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm wearing Long Kiss Goodnight by Chris Collins. Ooh. And I feel like Chris Collins and this show have been orbiting each other for the last couple of years and just looking at each other like, we'll get there. I see you. Like, we'll make it happen. The first Chris Collins scent I officially got my hands on was Manhattan Cherry, the one that I love so much. And then Forbidden Apple just came out. And then they sent me a discovery set. So I've been digging my way through. And Long Kiss Goodnight is not my favorite from the discovery set. I like it a lot. But I'm wearing it today because
it's... It's like rose mood.
Yes. So I first smelled it and I was like, oh, this is a rose scent. And I don't love rose, but this was nice. But then I looked at the notes and it's like literally everything that I love. Passion fruit, coffee beans, and pink saffron up top. And I was like, hold on, that seems like made for me in a lab. And then the hearts, frankincense, rose, and pink peony. And then you're right, the base is agar wood or oud, crisp amber, and vanilla bean. It's nice. It's like one of those juicy, jeweled, faceted roses. And I do get a lot of the passion fruit, but it's almost like passion fruit hiding under a rose petal because it is really juicy. And you know how sometimes passion fruit leans almost citrus with that bright tanginess? It's that. Tart. And I'm looking for the coffee in here and I'm not sure I'm getting it on my skin, but again, not my favorite Chris Collins one of the ones that I've smelled, but I really appreciate it because everything in it I love. As I've been wearing my way more and more through the Chris Collins collection, I am kicking myself in the dick that it took me this long to come to it because I feel like there is this, before my beauty career started and whatever, I feel like a lot of these, in different ways, they are very different, but they all remind me of a couple of the early fragrances that I started wearing that were all really dark and warm and sweet and sensual and leathery, spicy, whatever. Many of them scratch that itch for me in a way that is just really satisfying and I like so much. Like, I love gourmands, etc. But this type of fragrance is where it started for me. So I've just been really enjoying getting to know the Chris Collins collection, which is why we have him on the show today.
How convenient.
How convenient. He's been doing perfume for 7 years now, officially. And he is an industry darling. He is a former Ralph Lauren model, studied under a very iconic perfumer in front of the show, which we will get into in a minute here. I've been loving his fragrance and meeting him was so cool, both in person and on this show. And it's nice to finally connect the dots and be like, oh, you are a cool, real person.
Yeah.
You know?
And he is.
Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I am Chris Collins, founder of Chris Collins Fragrances, and I make cool, interesting perfume originated by storytelling.
Awesome. And Chris, we always start off by asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
Oh, I don't smell all that great right now. I've been running around all day. But you know what? I got a mixture of natural body sweat kind of running around mixed with all the fragrances that I've been trying out all day. It's almost like a daily occasion where I'm trying new scents, working on things for the holiday next year, 2027. So I got all kind of scents all over my body, but I'm getting something like a gardenia scent from somewhere. So that must be the strongest scent that I've tried today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely. On average, how many scents do you think, like at the end of your workday, after having tested everything, how many scents would you say that you wear on average, like, you know, 7 p.m.?
I'm like the guy on the train who smells like every part of his arm because I'm like working on different mods of something. I probably have about 3 or 4 on today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. What are your test spots? What's the real estate?
The forearm, the inside arm, the back of the hand. I like inside my hand too. I like the smell like that, but I'm always got something on. And it's funny because a lot of people always ask me, that's the most popular question is, what are you wearing today? And I'm like, I have lived with the fragrances that you or the person who probably bought the fragrance is buying. I've lived with that fragrance for like years. So I'm like always working on like new fragrances coming up. So all the things I smell like, I probably can't really talk about because it's like secret things I'm working on, but I'm always smelling like something, working on something.
So what you smell like today, we will smell in like 2028.
Yeah, I think maybe sooner on this one. Definitely.
Okay, good.
2026, probably mid to late 2026.
Excellent. Yeah. Excited.
Okay. We don't have to wait that long, Ben. I can't spray my hand just because I feel like I talk with my hands so much and they're always in my face that it's too here. You know, I can do it everywhere else.
But a lot of people ask me where they should spray fragrance, and I actually tell them they should spray their hands, especially if you talk with their hands, because people will smell your fragrance.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see that. Mm-hmm. I see that.
I will spray the back of my hand.
Yeah.
And also because if you don't like it, you can just wash your hands.
Right. You can always get rid of it. But I do tell people like one of the secret places to spray fragrances on your hand, especially if you use the hands a lot.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. So we talked to so many people with so many different backgrounds. Some are perfumers, some are brand founders, some are just friends of the industry. But we always like to set the scene and understand what fragrances were important to you throughout your life. And again, they don't have to be fine fragrances. They can be what a scent that you grew up with in your home. Does anything stick out to you?
Yeah, man. So many fragrances. Like my dad was probably the best smelling person that I've ever smelled when I was a kid because I didn't really understand fragrance and cologne and perfume. He just always just smelled good. And it started with, in our household, it was always creams. It was always all kind of lotions. You know, I grew up putting cocoa butter on my skin, which I still do to this day. So the scent of that actually brings me way back to when I was a kid. My dad used to wear like Old Spice, scents like that, kind of those nostalgic kind of fragrances, like from the 70s, 80s. My dad wore English leather and gray flannel. He was just always smelling impeccably good. So my remembrance of scent always had come from him. And then, of course, I carried that with me into my childhood, my adolescence. And then I started, like, you know, when I was in college, all I could afford was like Bath and Body Works. So I would go get the pomegranate lotions or these like really sweet smelling lotions because I didn't know. I just wanted to smell good because I was an athlete and I just wanted to just smell good outside of like playing basketball and being sweaty and all that stuff.
We have a lot of respect for Bath and Body Works on this podcast. So it's good to hear other people sort of bring them to the table too.
Oh, yeah. I tried all of them.
I feel like they're formative for all of us. So it's definitely a through line of smell you later. So I guess that would bring us to, what was the inspiration to start your own fragrance line? It sounds like a sort of big jump from being an athlete to being a perfumer, but how did we get from A to B?
For a lot of my adulthood, I was in the fashion world, and there was like this huge connection between fashion and fragrance. I worked with Ralph Lauren for a long time. I was one of his models for about 20-something years. And I remember him doing all the fragrance campaigns. And mind you, I'd always been into fragrance. It was always more important for me to smell good than to actually dress better or dress well. So I'd always been into fragrance. But then when I got into the fashion world and I saw the connection, it was very intriguing. And I never in a million years at that point did I think I would actually create a brand. I just thought I would just learn more about fragrance and just be able to go into this whole universe and learn about different notes and different categories. And then in doing that, I end up meeting a perfumer named Killian. And the way we met was just like serendipitous. And he brought me into this whole world that I had no idea about. It's not really an American thing, if you think about it. It's very French. I'm sure more French people knew about the world of perfumery as far as like creating more than maybe we did in the U.S. or just maybe I was clueless about it. But once he brought me into it and I started to indulge myself in it and be more curious, I just figured that this was it. I was excited about it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It kept me up at night. It was in my stomach. And then he actually was nice enough to mentor me, to show me the ropes, not just fragrance creation, but the business of fragrance, was just a completely different aspect of perfumery. And then once I learned that, I was a little crazy. I was crazy enough to create my own brand. So
just a guy named Killian, no one special.
Just a guy named Killian. You know what? I think to most people, he's like this figure, just like mysterious. And deep down, he's this guy. He's small in stature, super funny, like goofy. But of course, I guess what people would look at my, you know, my images and the kind of way that I present my fragrances and think the same thing. Every time I meet people, if I'm at Sephora or Nordstrom or Saks, it's like, oh, I didn't know you were so nice. I'm like, oh, you thought I was the persona that I portrayed when I'm launching a fragrance called Lust or Sweet Taboo or Long Kiss Goodnight. Yeah, that's definitely part of me. That's a persona, but the other part of me is when you meet in person.
It's always nice to have the balance of both, too. It's like, oh, you know, you are different from how you present online.
Yeah, and I think we all have different sides to us. I think fragrance allows me to bring that side of me out, which has been there, and it's always been there, but there's also silly, goofy, laughing, fun Chris, too.
I feel like people always want a character, especially from an eponymous fragrance brand. They want the lore.
Oh, yeah. They want... Yeah, it's almost like this fantasy, right? Like when I create fragrance, when I create any fragrance, it's always based off of a realistic, like a true experience or fantasy. And I've started to realize like when people look for something from me, it's almost like to fulfill a fantasy. And naturally, the way that I create, the style that I create in does that. I've always been into the mysterious, the sensual. So like I said, when I speak about lust, people are like, yes, finally I get to be comfortable in this universe or this world. And it doesn't always have to be about love and kissy. Let's talk about a deeper emotion like lust. Mm-hmm. So people lean into that. So I think I've tapped into something that people, well, we all think about, but not really want to talk about, I guess.
Ooh, that's scandalous.
Scandalous indeed.
I guess that sort of brings us to our next question. Sable and I are familiar with your collection, but maybe to a listener who isn't, how would you describe the Chris Collins collection overall? We know that your first fragrance was Harlem Nights, and do you see that sort of as the cornerstone of your collection? Just talk to us about overall Chris Collins.
So Harlem Nights is my first fragrance. A lot of people ask me, what's your favorite? And of course, I don't have a favorite. I love them all. They all have a special place in my heart. But if I would have to tell you which is the most important one, I would have to say Harlem Nights, because it was the first one. And that was the one that kind of allowed me or my invitation into the perfume world. And again, not being French, and of course, being African-American, it wasn't an easy invitation. or an easy way in. Not that anyone was blocking me from coming to the world of perfumery, but I look different than any other person who has ever created fragrance, especially on the level of being trying to be on the same shelf as Killian or Frederick Malle or Tom Ford. I had this crazy idea when I first launched, and I said, there is this connection between Harlem and the French, right? Especially the Harlem Renaissance and the French back in the 1920s. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tell that story because no one has ever told it before. And that connection actually worked because when I went to Paris and I launched the fragrances, everyone knew about Josephine Baker. Everyone knew about the Harlem Renaissance because it's all over art and everything in France and especially in Paris. So I knew that I needed to do that. Plus it came naturally because I live in Harlem and that's where the brand was originated and the idea and everything. Yeah, Harlem was where it originated, but it's not the only story, right? It's that first collection that I launched, but I think for a long time in my life, I felt like I had to hide my sensuality, like my deep urges or whatever people have, and especially what I had. And fragrance actually allowed me to tell those stories in a classy way, but I was able to open up and be not afraid to open up about my sexuality. And I think people who resonate with my fragrances actually enjoy that aspect of my style of creation.
Well, I was thinking, like, I do feel like fragrance is one of those things that is, it's an invisible expression in a way, or an experiential expression where if you are shy or if you're self-conscious, you can still communicate something about yourself through it, especially things that are like a little bit on the taboo side. Or
exactly. Yeah. I was just about to say the same word, things that are taboo. You can use fragrance as this cloak. I can change. Mm-hmm. I can transform myself. And especially since Chris said I can. Mm-hmm. Chris said I can wear this fragrance called Forbidden Apple. It's based off the Garden of Eden. And do you dare? Do you take a bite? And also the way these names float around in my head and the way I create is I want them to be these like sensual conversations. Wow, you smell really great. What are you wearing? I'm wearing Long Kiss Goodnight. Oh, really? Yeah. Wearing Lost in Paradise. I'm like, oh, you want to be Lost in Paradise with me? So this is all part of the plan.
You don't need a dating app. You just need to wear Chris Collins for your
life. That's it. You don't. You will find a man or a woman. You will get pregnant. I mean, it's like, and honestly, it took me a long time to be comfortable with my sensuality. I don't know if people believe in signs or whatever, but I'm a Scorpio and I'm like super like into my sexuality, but I was always embarrassed by it. I wanted to hide it. And it wasn't until I started creating fragrance that I knew I had like-minded people like me and I was more comfortable to express that, especially through.
Yeah, the frag heads are definitely that crowd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I got people. Woo! Some of the messages I get.
Also, like, on our non-visual podcast, like, Chris Collins is a professional model. He is a professionally gorgeous person. So, obviously, you're getting people in your DMs. Yeah.
They are heavy. But maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe the looks have to do with it. A lot to do with it. But a lot of people... free and open, and your fragrances make me fall in love with myself again, and like some like really incredible messages that I get from people. So it's interesting. Yeah.
I'm how you said your fragrances sort of helped people find that in themselves and find you. I am always not shocked, but pleasantly surprised by the many ways that fragrance, one, helps people find community and two, helps people understand more deeply about themselves too, even if it's that just that they're horny. And Chris Collins brought that to them. I think that's just as important as anything else.
And you make a great point because my Lost in Paradise is different from yours. It's different from everyone's. Like, paradise is different for each of us, right? So you take my lead of where I'd like for you to go and you make it your own. This is yours. It's not mine. It's not my life or my relationships or my sexuality, but it's the origin of how I created it. But now you can take it and make it yours. And you could be comfortable living in that world because, like I always say, I will hold your hand in this universe. It's okay. And you're not alone. You're not the only one. So people resonate with that.
Yeah. That is nice. So you mentioned a bit before that Killian took you under his wing and became one of your mentors. What do you think, and I thought it was interesting too, not just about perfumery, but also the business side of it, which are famously two different things that have to coexist. What do you think the most, if you can narrow it down, the most surprising or even valuable thing was that he taught you or that you learned alongside him?
It's funny because his exact advice I won't share because I have to keep that between him and I, but the gist of it was, this shit is hard. And he was like, be prepared to be extremely ridiculed, be praised, and everything in between. I've had people like, I hate his fragrances, they smell terrible, all the way to I love them and they changed my life. So you can't make everyone happy. Also, be prepared to, his business is very difficult. Like when he launched, there weren't a ton of niche brands. You had a handful. You had Labo and Frederick Mall and Francis Cook-Jen. Like you had some like powerhouses, but that's when niche was very small. And now it's very crowded. Mm-hmm. It seems like every day there's a new brand launching a new fragrance. So he says, you have to be good. You have to bring it. Because if you don't, the fragrance world will bash you and they will try to make you feel like you don't belong, especially again, because I'm not French, African-American. And he made me understand that before I launched, like, you got to bring it. Don't come half-assed with your packaging. Don't come half-assed with your fragrances, because there's a lot of people that are probably rooting against you to succeed. So I took that advice and ran with it. So that was some great advice. And some other advice that he gave me was, be prepared to lose friends, family, people you loved ones. This business is really hard and you have to put your whole soul into it. You may lose connections with people. And he was just very adamant about you having to put your whole heart and soul into that. And unless you're willing to sacrifice everything, and I mean everything, don't do it. So that was his advice.
Damn.
Wow.
It's a good thing no one took it too seriously.
Yes, exactly. And at the time, we were sitting in a cafe in Paris. We were having lunch when he told me this. And I'm like, oh, no, Killian, it can't be that bad. Right? Now, 7 years in, I'm like, yeah, he's right. It's that bad. That's what you sign up for. There's a huge vulnerability that comes with creating anything. You two know. Like, you created something, right? And there are people that love your show, and there's probably people that ridicule and are disgusted by your show. But you still stay true. You stay true to what you believe in and what you know. And for those that follow you, let's go. For those that don't, then I got to leave you behind. And that's the same story with anything.
Yeah. I think I have whatever benevolent mental illness is that when you have haters, it just makes me like want to be better. Oh. It just makes me like more confident that I'm going in the right direction.
I mean, so I remember when I first launched at Sephora and I was like really excited to read the reviews. And then I started reading the reviews and I said, I got to start reading the reviews.
Yeah, no.
I've not read a review on Sephora in years because... Some people is just extremely brutal. And you can tell some of it is personal. It has nothing to do with what it's you're creating. Personal. It's personal. Who the hell do you think you are? And then it goes into that. Yeah. But listen, that's the territory that it comes with. And I'm more than happy to deal with it.
I feel like fragrance reviewers or like people who comment in fragrance review sections are like particularly on one. Are they like having a day?
You have
it's
no
always personal.
Idea. You would listen. No, hold on a second. Shout out to all my fragrance lovers. And I love you all, whether you love me or not. I love you. But there are more experts in this world in fragrance that you would... People telling me if I were you, I would not use that note, and you should have toned down that note. I'm like, I really appreciate that advice. Thank you, but this is my fragrance, and this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And when you launch your fragrance, you can do whatever you want, and I hope it's successful. You can take that note out, put this note in. When I was growing up, people weren't as versed and as smart in perfume. Which that's a testament to how much fragrances evolved. To us back in the day, it just smelled good or it didn't smell good.
Exactly.
No one knew about top, middle, base notes, sillage, longevity. It was just, this is what it is. people to this day, some people are like, oh, this is it cologne? Is it perfume? Is it for men or for women? I'm just like, and then that's an educating moment. Growing up, we thought cologne was for men, perfume was for women, and that's not true. Cologne is a level of oil percentage in the fragrance, and perfume is one of the highest. So we thought cologne was for men because most aftershaves were for men, which were lower in percentage, obviously because like Old Spice and whatever it is that you wore. So anyway, everyone is an expert. So in the comments, they are breaking it down, breaking my fragrance down to a T.
It makes me wonder, do people go to a museum and they see a Picasso and they're like, why didn't he make the women look like women and not cubes?
Like, why did Beethoven, what was he thinking? I would never have done that. Okay, I get that part, but he's like this genius. And listen, if you're not doing something, at least this is what I believe, you're not doing something right if somebody's not hating you for doing it. If somebody ain't sending you a little bit of hate towards it, you need to rethink your strategy, because somebody's gonna hate you if you're doing something right.
You know what? Hate is still a strong emotion, so it means you're evocative.
And it's okay. You know what? I have people say, oh my God, Chris, I tried this fragrance and I hate it. I was like, okay, hate's a strong word, but okay, let's talk about it. And I said, do you know why you think you might not like it? Why is that? Because it may remind you of something that you don't really want to touch. Like, you don't want to go there. Like, it could be a painful moment in your life that something in that fragrance has reminded you as soon as you smelled it that brought you back in that moment of time without you even knowing it. And then if you really love it, as soon as you smell it, it could remind you of a happy place or a happy time or a moment when you're on vacation with your family or the first boyfriend you met. It could be so many things. So I never, ever take offense when someone says, I don't like or I hate your fragrance, because it's personal and it may remind you of a place or a time or a moment that you don't want to revisit.
Definitely.
That's real.
Pain and perfume are both portals.
Ooh,
I have to write that down.
That was a banger. Shit, that was crazy, Sava.
That was good.
It's true, though.
You know, it's funny, just not to spin out about feedback and commenters, but I was recently spiraling about some slick shit that someone said, I think, about this podcast. And one of our good friends was like, Tynan, we're in an era where everyone expects everything to be for everyone. And it can't be. But at the same time, it's like, I would counter that with, yes, but then they also demand complete authenticity and transparency at every point. And it's like, you can't even have one of those things, let alone both. So I think it's just knowing, to me, and I'm not a perfumer, when you're creating anything, as long as it's true to you, I feel like that's the only gut, like that's the only instinct that you need to trust. The only voice you need to listen
you
to.
You hit it right on the button. I got a funny story. When I first launched, I was nervous. I didn't know if anyone would actually ever buy a fragrance. I didn't know if I belonged. There was a lot of doubt in me when I launched, but I was still determined to launch. Mm-hmm. And I remember even working on Harlem Nights, which is my first fragrance. I kept changing it. I kept modifying it because I wasn't secure that it was ever done, until the perfumer said, Chris, you got to stop at some point. Or it could just never be done. Mm-hmm. At that point, I realized as soon as I stopped giving a fuck about what people were going to say about it, that's when I felt the most free. Even in my life, even when I stopped giving a fuck what people thought about me, I felt the most free. This is before perfume. This has nothing to do with fragrance. This is me trying to always people please or make people happy. As soon as I stopped giving a fuck about what people thought about me, was the most free that I ever felt in my life. And it took me a minute to get to that point in perfumery. Now my confidence, I may be a little too confident. Now I'm confident, like, this is my creation. Here it is. Here's my story. This is it. And some people are not going to like it. It's not going to be for them. One person will say that it lasts 15 hours. Another person will say it doesn't last at all. So you can't make everyone happy. You just have to do what you do and just believe in it, stand by it, and move on.
Wise. I do think that having your solid point of view is so much more valuable than saying, oh, like, I can do something for anyone, like anything you like, I can make it for you. That's not as compelling.
So if let's say you loved it, right? And then your sister or brother didn't. I would change it so now that your sister or brother loved it, But then when you smelled it, you would like it. So I kept going back and forth and changing it. So I said, you know what? One of you is not going to be happy. Yeah. I can't just keep going. And I was just wanting to do something so perfect because I wanted everyone to love it. And it wasn't until I realized everyone is not going to love it no matter what you do. That's when I was way more confident in my choices, my direction, creative direction. I don't know if you had a chance to smell African Rooibos yet, but if you haven't, I would love to get it to you. In my opinion, it is a masterpiece of a perfume. Nothing smells like it. It's so beautiful. The perfumer, Sid Lancaster, she made actually a lot of Killian's fragrances. I asked Killian for his permission for me to work with her because I didn't want him to think that I was just going and trying to. But this perfume was completely different from what she created for him, like Baca on the Rocks, Black Phantom, Street to Heaven, all those classics. Mm-hmm. So I asked her, I said, listen, I want to tell a story about my time visiting South Africa in my 20s. There's this tea that I experienced when I was there and I would love to make a fragrance. Have you ever worked with the Rooibos tea note? No, but I'm willing to try. It's a nice challenge. She created a fragrance for me. I smelled the first mod and I used it. We didn't touch it. Wow. We didn't move. We didn't add anything. And I'm telling you, this fragrance is a masterpiece. And I do not throw around that term lightly. And I was so confident at that point. So if it was my first fragrance, I probably would change it 45 times. But I was confident in my choices at that point. And I just said, it's done. And she says, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to try anything else? I said, no, Sydney, it's done. So that was it.
That is pure instinct.
It's funny you bring that up too, because aside from Manhattan Cherry and Forbidden Apple, Rooibos was the third Chris Collins scent that I smelled. And I'm not really, I like tea fragrances, but I'm not really like passionate about them. So I just put it on because it was the first one in the Discovery set. And I was blown away all day. I was like, I don't know what's going on here or why, but it's like, I agree. It's a masterpiece.
Find this fragrance is the only fragrance that I've ever worn, smelled, or from someone else. And I'm still a perfume geek. I still smell everything that comes out. I have very good friends in the business, friends with the founder of Fugazi, friends of Maison Crivelli. I'm like, House of Beau is my favorite brand outside of mine that I love to follow. And I've never smelled or created at this point a fragrance that gets better as time goes. If you sprayed it at 8 in the morning, it will be better at 4 in the evening. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And you can't plan it. Yeah. There's nothing that I could have planned to actually do that. It's just like this mystical alchemy of notes that came together and it just works. And it is, so I'm glad you had a chance to experience it because I think that is definitely, I don't have a favorite, but it's my signature. It hands down is my signature.
It's, to me, it just came as a complete surprise.
But I'm glad you smell Savant though. Manhattan Cherry.
Yes. That one, I was telling Sable, there have been a lot of cherry fragrances lately, and I like them all, I guess. Like, I like cherries, but yours, again, was a very unique and specific spin on it that made it wholly a Chris Collins scent. Yeah. And it was dark and sexy, but not specifically leathery, but not, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I was just like, oh, okay.
Are both of you in New York? Are you in the city?
Yes.
I heard the siren, so I assumed it's either one of you or both of you are in the city. Have you been to the Polo Bar yet?
I have
not.
Okay. So we have to take you to the Polo Bar.
I'm down.
So sitting at the Polo Bar, drinking, I want to have a drink. The bartender, I'm not a big whiskey drinker. The bartender suggested I have a Manhattan. So I tasted this drink and the way he made it, it was just like, the cherry was just the condiment, right? Or the
garnish.
The garnish. So it was like, I want to create a fragrance where cherry is the garnish, but not the whole thing. I've smelled fragrances where it's like a bowl of cherries. And I'm a fan of a lot of other cherry fragrances. I love Cherry Punk. I love Love Fest by Mona, KLE, Burning Cherry. I'm a huge fan. But my direction of cherry, what's it going to be? You're going to smell it. You're just going to get hints of cherry, which plays with the whiskey and the oak barrel liqueur and all the other stuff. I'm glad you caught that because it's not a cherry. A cherry is just a garden.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. So along those same lines, when you are known for deeper, darker, sultrier scents, then you do start to add in more fruit forward or seemingly fruit forward fragrances into your collection, Forbidden Apple. How do you expand your collection in these seemingly new directions while staying true to the Chris Collins sort of signature style?
So what I want to do is I want to be able to try different, you know, styles, but still, I think the biggest compliment that people can give when they smell one of my fragrances is, okay, this is fresh, but it still has this like Chris Collins DNA. I keep hearing that over and over. This Chris Collins DNA, because even like a scent like Lost in Paradise, which is oceanic and coconut, I still give you like a little salted musk to give it a little bit of something that is not overly just completely fresh. I just wanted to give you a little bit of dimension. So I think no matter what I create, I still want to give whatever that DNA is. And I can't even tell you what it is. It's just when I get my nose on it, I know where or when it's right. If it's fruity, like Forbidden Apple, I gave you a nice, crisp, juicy apple, but I also wanted to add a little candy to it. And I wanted to add a little fenugreek syrupy maple to it. I wanted to give you a little bit of dimension. So no matter what I create, I think I want to still keep that and still be more versatile. And I'm on fragrance number 16, so I don't want everything to be deep dark, like completely deep dark, although that's what my customer looks for. But I can still give you something fresh and still give you some vetiver, make it smoky, make it a little bit more oaky or whatever it is. The good news is that my perfumers, they know my style. So they'll say, Chris, okay. Mm-hmm. I can go to them and say, here's a story I want to tell, and then we create something. Or they say, Chris, I created something that I think you should smell. And that's actually how Savant Manhattan Cherry was created. Because
really?
I told a story of me being at the Polo Bar and having that drink, but I didn't ask for fragrance. I was having a conversation. And then the perfumer says, I think I have something for you. As a matter of fact, they were showing me some mods of Lust, of Eau Delice. And they stuck that one in there. I was like, this is not one of the things we were making, but you should smell it. So at that time, I smelled Lust and Savant at the same time. And I was like, okay,
wow,
these two are it. So yeah.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
It was fate.
It was fate.
Well, we talk a lot about fragrance culture in general and how it's evolving, especially as we seem to be in this feedback loop where the industry is pumping out fragrance to feed the consumer and the culture and the community around fragrance.
Yeah.
So it's as a perfume maker and a brand, like, how do you swim in that current? How do you decide where to grow with that?
You got to keep your blinders on, which is impossible, and just stay true to your DNA and your creations. There's a huge opportunity. Fragrance is hot right now. And there are brands that never thought about fragrance before, and now they're all launching fragrances. There's the dupe culture. There's a lot going on. And I feel like I was like a student of not old school, but like modern day niche perfumery. Because like I said, when I first fell in love with perfumery, it was only a handful out there, especially like a handful that I knew, like Byredo, Frederick Malle, and Killian. So forth and so on. But now there's just so much. They're, like I said, brands who've never even considered fragrance before. And then all of a sudden, it becomes like this opportunity. And for me, it was never anything but fragrance. It wasn't like, let me start here and end here. It starts and ends with fragrance. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't ever ideate about brand extensions or different, like incendiaries, candles, body, which is something I've always been interested in because I've always been interested in it before I even created perfume. So it's always an idea. There's a lot going on in the world of perfumery. But if I may, and this is only my perspective, there's a lot going on, but there's not a whole lot of great going on. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
And there are some people that have that deep pockets and investors, and they could launch and be very successful. I think the true fragrance enthusiasts, they know what's real and they know what to connect to. And like I said, it was just a lot easier back when there was just like a few niche brands. But now there's, I swear, every day, every time I go on social media, there's a new brand. But listen,
yeah,
shout out to them. who am I to say what you can and cannot do? What's your style? What, they're probably saying whatever they feel about me as well. But I just know that people resonate with like true authenticity and like good fragrance. That people resonate with that. So I guess I'll just leave it at that.
It's a good place to leave it.
Yeah. I don't want to insult anyone, but just bring it. I'll tell you like Killian told me, bring it. If you're going to do it, do it. Your packaging needs to be on point. It needs to feel luxe. Just like my style is simple elegance, the way I create is simple elegance. My bottles are simple elegance. There's no like bells and whistles. There's a place for everyone in the industry. So be that as it may, yeah, do it.
I love
all
that.
May enter, few may survive.
Yeah, that is a good point. A lot of enter, a few survive. And
yeah,
I guess it depends on your business model. The way you want it to end is the way you should start, the way you should launch it. So if you,
that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. If your idea is to be acquired, or if your idea is to keep it as a family business, then the way you launch in the beginning will dictate that journey. And you can tell the brands that want to exit, they're doing it to exit. You know, shout out to them, no shade.
Yeah.
But then there are people who are like, I've never had a single dime, I never had an investor. So it's all my own money and then money from the business. Because at this point, and it could change, at this point, I have no desire for acquisition. I just want to create what I want. I don't want to answer to anybody. If I want to launch a fragrance that smells like the Martians on the moon, I can do that because I don't answer to anyone. To me, that's important right now. But that could change. You never know. Your business does evolve. Like a big, and I don't know your business, and excuse me if I don't say something that's not right, but a big company could come to you and say, Comcast can say, well, you know what, we deal. All of a sudden, your business model changes if you decide that's the way you want to go. You just have to be, you have to actually create the business the way you want to exit it, because that will dictate the journey that you will follow.
That's great advice, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of people don't think like that, but you should. Mm-hmm. You should think, how do I want this to end? Like, you never want to think about the divorce before you get married. But in business, you almost have to. You got to say, what different scenarios? Of course, you started with like passion and you love it. But then when the business comes in, when it's involved, you never know where it's going to end. So you have to dictate that. So that's my little two cents.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I think if people treated their marriages the way they would treat a business, like a lot more marriages would work out.
Well, remember I told you the advice that I didn't want to tell you that Killian gave me? Killian said, when I was about to lunch, he says, are you married? And I said, no. He said, good. Because this business will kill it.
Yeah.
So, I'll leave it at that.
Food for thought.
Food for thought. But
oh my God, this has been like
by
business.
Because no, I don't want nobody in these comments. Let my comments. By no means am I saying a marriage can't survive entrepreneurship and business. This is what my mentor told me. That's all.
And that's
and by the way, allowed. He's happily married right now. And when he was telling me this was like the beginning, like when you it takes. And if I may, a lot of people don't really see what it takes. It's a lot. It's not just, they see the fun part of creating fragrance. That's right. They're right. It's so fun. It's so fun to create a fragrance. But then, okay, let's talk about MOQs and ordering bottles and ordering juice and packaging and this and that. And then having a team and chargebacks and retail relationships. Like, they don't see all that part. And then they're like, what the fuck did I just do? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. And I'm still figuring it out. And that kind of, that's what makes it fun. And scary at the same time, but fun nonetheless.
Fair, fair.
For the record, it looks very effortless for you.
Thank you.
It does.
That's the secret to make
it
look effortless. That's the secret.
You're like the duck. It's like calm on the surface and under the water.
Exactly. When I was taking like 20 cartons to UPS the other day and someone, Chris, he was like, I was like, what are you doing here? I was like, who else is gonna ship this stuff to Dubai? Me? Was just like... People, and you're right. Like, Sable, you're right. It's like the feet under the water swimming like crazy, but above water, the duck is calm and cool with his little tuxedo jacket on. But under the water, you're swimming like hell.
Yep.
You got some gems, Sable. What the dude?
I know.
I was on one today.
On one.
You are
definitely on one.
This has been such a great chat.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like we got some really good like stealth business gems from you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think we need to be realistic. When I was saying like people in my DMs, like a lot of people are like, I would like to create my own fragrance. Where do I start? And the truth, the answer to that question is I have no idea. Where should you start? Yeah. What do you want to launch? What do you want to create? Do you
it's kind of a big question for a
it's
DM.
It's a huge question. And one that I don't have the answer to.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you want to go? Where do you want it
to end?
Well,
now we know. Start at the end.
Start at the end.
Yeah.
Start at the end.
Start at the end because that will dictate what you... And I've had people reach out to me and the people that... Because by the way, Killian's my mentor, but he didn't help me. He didn't... Let me rephrase that. He didn't help me figure out the creative part. What he helped me is when he saw that I was doing it. That's when I help people. Because if you are just like, I want to create a fragrance, like, what have you done? Nothing? Your journey has not even... You need to figure some things out before you actually decide that this is what you want to do. And now that I know that, okay, you've sourced a bottle, you got a cap, you have a name, you have fragrance, you have this. Now I see that you have put it in. Okay, so now I'll help you. I'll help you figure this out.
Right.
But I can't help you from, I want to launch a fragrance. What do I do? No clue.
Right.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
I want to launch a podcast. What do I do? And to be frank, I'm still not sure about what I'm doing this fragrance. But that's okay. I'm learning.
Yep.
Every day is a learn. Every day is a failure. But as long as it's still going and it's working, that's all that matters, at least to me. Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Well, that was a real-ass conversation, wasn't it?
Yeah. I appreciate someone who buys into themselves in a playful way. I always find that really refreshing when someone's, it's out of confidence, not arrogance. They're not selling you themselves, but they're just like, look, this is me and this is what I do. And like, I'm about it.
It's also nice for him to say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I put it in my fragrance. And then that is reflected back at me from the people who wear it. I think that is the proof of concept right there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you have a fragrance or any brand that has like your assumed government name on it, like... How can you not take it personally?
I also like appreciated, everyone wants to say like the fragrance with 1500 five-star reviews, but we're not as eager to talk about within all those reviews. There are one or two that are like nasty and probably not about the fragrance at all, kind of personal. And like whether you're doing a perfume or a podcast, you come in contact with those. And it's nice to sort of acknowledge that and realize that it's sort of part of what you do.
I can like... I can somewhat relate, but when I would look at the comments and reviews of Die Hard with a Vengeance perfume, literally none of them were bad except for one comment on Fragrantica from a man, the only man to have reviewed it. And he said it was like, I don't know. He was basically just like, I don't understand what people are talking about. Like, this smells like so cheap and stupid. And like, he called it like the Devil Wears Primark, which like, as me, I'm like, okay, that's clever. But like,
I was like, you're going to eat that up.
I was like, that is something I would say. But then weirdly, it's gone now from the Fragrantica page. So I don't know if he deleted it or he like deleted his account, but the comment's gone. So I was like, oh, how weird. But literally every other comment is positive. So I'm like, well.
Speaking of men, I never told you this, I don't think. There is a woman who works at Stell. I'm sure you've met her. Her name is Michelle.
Oh,
curly hair. She does fragrance content too. Yeah. I actually, at the Chris Collins event that I went to for Forbidden Apple, we were talking about Stell and you and the scent. And she was like basically telling me what everyone says about it. Like, people come in, they love it. Sometimes they come in because they know Stell, but a lot of times they gravitate toward it just because it's good. But she was like, recently, these bros came in and they were like very much on their bro fragrance TikTok shit, like Zerjaw, Creed, whatever. And completely organically, they found Die Hot with a Vengeance. And this guy was like, this is fucking it. This is the scent. This is what I'm walking out with.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm so conflicted. The idea of a fuckboy wearing my scent to do his bidding?
Maybe we'll unfuckboy him. Maybe it'll heal him.
Hopefully.
Die healed.
Die healed. It's my follow-up book. I hope it will attract the appropriate fuck girl for him. Or maybe he's not, yes. I don't know. I don't know why I just assumed he was heterosexual, but we'll see. Good for him, though. I'm glad.
Yes. Hopefully he finds this podcast.
That's so funny. Wow. Anyway, I'm like, I too put my sensuality in my... I don't think I can even say that the straight face. It's like malevolent sexuality. But game recognized game, Chris Collins. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. I do find, and I know that Fragrance does this, but like a lot of his don't wear super linearly. They are really a journey. First spray, 2 hours later, 6 hours later, 12 hours. I mean, they really do all evolve on your skin more than I think fragrances that are being churned out today tend to do. Not all, but many. And I know that a linear wear is a style too, fine. But all of his really do take him on a journey. And I promise you, I wasn't talking shit when I was talking about the African rooibos scent. Really got me together. I need a full bottle of that, like, expeditiously.
Now I really want to smell it because I do like tea fragrances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think it's weird how rarely do they actually smell like the tea.
Yeah.
Like, green tea fragrances, they don't smell like green tea. They smell like a perfume version of green tea, like a perfume fantasy of green tea. But I was like, this is not the green tea I drink. But I still like them.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to smell that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll hook it
up. Chris Collins, you'll be receiving an email from us.
Until then,
go to our website, smellyoulater.live, where you can leave us a voice note. You can find our new, very cute merch for the fall. Follow us on Instagram. We are at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tyan Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.